I tell you what, how many of y'all take supplements? Brad supplements is the best supplement. Yes. Well, Brad just showed y'all is the best supplement for y'all to take. I tell you what, got a little game there. When we look at going to the soil, you've got to have good soil. You've got to have open pollinated seed to pull it up right. But if you have open pollinated, did you know that your hybrid seed do not pull up cobalt? And cobalt requires your brain function. And so what Brad had is tremendous. I'd like to go a little bit into home remedies and how to address, I think we still have a little bit, but how to address health issues from natural home remedies. And I can tell you from personal experience that as I've worked with people who have health issues from cardiovascular disease to diabetes to cancer to whatever, I'm finding marked improvement. But as we get to root causes, we use natural home remedies. And I'd like to share some of them with y'all. The fun I'm going to share today, I usually take about 4 hours to do, so we're going to go real fast, but hang on, y'all. Keys to health. If you want to know how to be healthy, there's two things. The quality of the blood and the flow of the blood. What is it now?
Quality of the blood.
And the flow of the blood. And when I first read that, I thought, what's the blood got to do with it? But wait a minute. If you go to your physician, what are they going to look at?
Your blood.
You've got to have good blood, healthy blood to go to the cell, and then you're going to have healthy cells. But if you put junk into your blood, you're going to have what? Junk cells. Yeah. And so you want to have healthy quality blood, and you want to have good flow of the blood. If you don't have good flow of the blood, then you're going to not be healthy. Now, how do you get quality blood? And that's the eight laws. Nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance. What's temperance? I used to think it's moderation in all things. Until my kids. I have kids. And you know my youngin'. I've got a boy, he's 22 years old, he's on fire right now, hot fire. He just called me, said, Dad, I'm on another fire. My youngest son, he's 16, he's dead on fire. When I had kids, I realized that moderation in cocaine is not an option.
Right.
So it's not moderation in all things. It's moderation in the good stuff and total abstinence in the bad stuff. And so that's what temperance is. And it's not just what you eat, it's also what you listen to, what you look at, what you think. Understand?
Mm-hmm.
You got air, fresh air. Now, it's not only what you breathe. Now, y'all don't have the best air around here. We drove into that. It's interesting. But you also want to breathe. A lot of folks breathe like chihuahuas. You know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all have children, babies? Where do you watch them child breathe? The stomach. I call it abdominal breathing. We need to have good abdominal breathing. And a lot of it is it's not doing good air exchange. And so you want to have good quality blood rest. That's a tough one. America does not sleep. You need to go to bed, and you need to go to bed on time. That definitely affects the quality of the blood. It affects the quality of because there's hormones that are made between 10 o'clock and midnight. There's just a bunch of stuff goes on that affects the blood between those times. If you're not in bed asleep, you're not going to get it. And the last one, Brad shared with y'all how to have a good garden. But can Brad make the garden grow?
Mm.
Who makes the garden grow?
God.
But Brad showed you got to do a lot of stuff to make it grow. The same thing is true on health. You got to have good nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, fresh air, rest, and you got to trust in God that it is God that does the healing. Is that true? I believe so. Okay, colds and flus and immune system. And this is frontline defense. And folks say, well, what do I do? You know, I'm scared and I need flu shots. Well, I was persuasive, and I would try to get every one of my staff to take the flu shot. We're talking 300-400 employees, and I wanted my nurses, my doctors, everybody to take flu shots because we didn't want to get sick. Well, I noticed one. Folks take flu shots, one's more prone to get sick. I take a flu shot, I get sick. And I noticed ones weren't taking a flu shot, many times they weren't getting sick. And that's just my just simple observation. So I quit doing the flu shot. I quit getting sick. So look at you guys, hand washing. Wash your hands. Get adequate sleep. Now, what's sleep got to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Stress. Stress lowers the immune system. Stress is the number one diagnosis in America today, is what we're now told. Stress, I mean, look at all the problems. Stress raises the cortisol level. Cortisol goes up, you're going to have hypertension. You're going to have clotting factor going up. You're going to have communication to the muscles and the nerves. It's going to be much more aggressive and stimulating. What happens to digestion? Cortisol level up. Digestion slows down. Just many problems. I believe stress affects cancer. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think so. But adequate sleep can affect your immune system. Your immune system is going to affect how if you are getting flus and colds and whatever. Refrain from refined sugar. Did you know just a 12-ounce soft drink on the average has how many teaspoons of sugar? 10. 10 teaspoons of sugar on your average soft drink. That, according to Dr. Neil Nedley in the book True Positive, he tells us that's going to lower your immune system about 50% for the next 4 hours. At Snickers bar, that in the next 4 hours, your immune system is only doing 1/14th. 1/14th of its immune system. Sugar is terrible on the immune system. Stay away from it. And stress. Stress definitely lowers the immune system. Now here's I told you I'm going a little fast. Here is some natural things you can do for health issues. Oil of oregano. When I start feeling like I was getting sick, and I work with a lot of people, I'm shaking their hands, I'm taking their money, I'm talking to them, I'm hugging them, whatever, I'm finding that it's easy for me to get exposed. And so what I would do is I would take about 6,000 milligrams of 3 times a day of vitamin C. So a total of 6,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I was taking a full dose of olive oil extract. I was taking a full amount of echinacea. I was taking a full amount of golden seal. But then I was introduced to oil of oregano. Anybody ever taken oil of oregano? I am finding that oil of oregano, I just stick it under my tongue for about 2 minutes and swallow it. You can put it in water, it's kind of stout. If I do that every 2 hours, until I feel the symptoms going away, I usually feel symptoms going away within a half a day to 3/4 of a day. It is tremendous, y'all. Oil of oregano, pine sap. How many of ever have used pine sap? I was doing a class on pine sap back a number of years ago, and this elderly lady was sitting there, and she said, "Yeah, we used it." She says, "Let me tell you a story. Now listen to this, y'all. This is interesting. When my daddy was a nurse, and he was going house to house during the influenza of 1918. She says, he'd take my brother and I along with him." That got my attention. They were preschool. He was taking along with them and going house to house into the room with the patients with influenza. They didn't get sick. And so I listened. She says, here's what he did. When we come home, he'd take a pine knot, put it over fire, and he caused it to drip into water, and then he drank it. And he'd give it to us kids. And I said, well, how many drops, how much water? She said, I don't know, I'd be okay. I'd only been using it on external. We'll talk about external in a few minutes. But we found that when I moved back to Tennessee about 6.5 years ago, I'd been gone out working in healthcare for about 15 years. The mountain people will teach you a lot. And they taught me of how they would take pine sap, and their mothers and grandmothers would give them a interest, and they come in and tell me, between a half a matchstick head to a matchstick head of pine rosin, stick it in the mouth, and kids chew it on the way to walk into school. They didn't get sick. Pine sap increases the immune system. We got rocket fuel. Well, let me share you, y'all. How many of y'all know what rocket fuel is? Rocket fuel is great stuff. And I'm going to need some help, of course. Come on and help me. Okay, it's real easy. You're going to take about 5 to 10 cloves of garlic. 5 to 10 cloves of garlic. 5 to 10 cloves of garlic. The little bitty cloves, not the bulbs. And then I put about a half an onion in there. And then I put about a thumb of ginger. They got a little thumb there. About a thumb of ginger. And then I'll put, I don't have the lemon. You want the juice of 2 lemons. And then you want 2 tablespoons of honey. You want to scrape that out. Mm-hmm. And then you want about 1/8 of a teaspoon to
to a quarter of a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now, be careful of cayenne pepper, because cayenne pepper can range from, say, 20,000 HUs to, they got a new one that's 2 million HUs. I think this one was 100,000 HUs that I brought. And now I've added a new item that I didn't bring with me, but I didn't have any bring. I'm now putting elderberry in there, a teaspoon of elderberry extract. Elderberry is very good for the immune system. And then you just take it and you add just a little bit of water. And then you can put that top on there and then go over there and blend that up in the blender. There's a little bit of small over there. Just put a little bit in it and just blend it up. But rocket fuel is really good to boost the immune system. I like using hot, good warm water. And you drink that for about one a day until you get feeling better. I was doing that on Channel 10 in Knoxville. And this fellow tried it. And for two months, they kept having phone calls with people saying either they lost it worked so good, or their friends told them about it. And they were calling wanting that recipe for rocket fuel. But it's really good. Every one of those items is going to build the immune system. Again, we're putting garlic, we're putting onion, we're putting cayenne, we're putting ginger, we're putting honey, and we're putting, I mentioned cayenne, and then the elderberry. Lemon. Lemon. Elderberry. Elderberry. It's a berry from the bush, or tree.
Where do you find it in California?
At your health food store. You want a net, a quart.
All right, there you go. Go back there again.
All right. But you want to drink that. The first time I drank that, I was sweating. And what happened, it's funny, my therapist handed it to me, and she said, drink this. So I took a sip, and I set it down. And I walked back. She came back up to me and she gave it to me. She said, drink this. And I did. And I was just sweating profusely. And I didn't realize she put a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper in. Okay, while he's still working on that golden field is really good to boost the immune system. Echinacea is good to boost the immune system. Be careful with golden field and echinacea because a lot of folks will say, do it 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, because it's an antibiotic and can. You know, you get kind of used to it. Well, I got a good friend searching in D.C. that's doing some research on it, and he's got another buddy that's a physician doing some research. They're finding that if you're using echinacea and golden field as much as 4 weeks, stopping 1 week, and they have the same efficacy. So I'm really interested in those two physicians' research on both of these two herbs that are very good for boosting the immune system. Again, the elderberry, olive leaf extract, vitamin C, zinc. I put mustard plasma for... for flu. I knew this elderly gentleman, he was a nurse during World War II, and he also would work on the influenza. And the best thing, he was in the military, and the best thing he found was to do a mustard plaster on his patients. Now, a mustard plaster is just, you take one part mustard powder, and you take three parts whole wheat flour. Now, you can use white flour, but it's just a little bit more sticky. And so you use one part mustard powder, three parts whole wheat flour, mix it together thoroughly, and then you add water to make a paste. Now, how many of y'all have mixed concrete? Well, what you do is, here's how you know how much to use. You take it, and you know how when you're mixing your concrete, and you're putting rock up against the wall, and you throw it against the side of the wheel bar, and it sticks, then you know it's the right consistency. That's about the consistency you're looking for. But what you do is you can take some saran wrap, put it out, put your mustard plaster in the middle, put some more saran wrap on top of that, roll it out with a rolling pin to about an eighth of an inch thick, take the top off, and then lay it on the chest. You can also lay it on the back too, on both sides of the lungs. Leave it there for 20 minutes, no more, or less, unless if the person is saying this is hot, because cayenne, we know the heating units. Mustard, we don't. So some's real hot and some's not. And so if it's hot, take it off because it can actually blister the skin. And so you want to be careful. But it's really good to bring blood flow. It's excellent for if a person has a cold or a flu with congestion in the lungs. Okay, hydrotherapy. In the shower with cold or cool water, that increases white cell count. Steam treatments, the steam bath, fever treatment. When I first started looking at fever treatments, I could not believe we were doing it for our patients for cancer and build the immune system, but I could not believe the research that I was reading out of Loma Linda saying that it would increase your immune system, the white cell count, sevenfold. So I thought, well, I got to check this out. So I had my nurses draw labs prior to, during, at the end of the treatment, and then every half hour for the next 6 hours. And sure enough, at 5 hours after treatment, on the average, we peaked at sevenfold. Tremendous. And it works just like a double boiler. It just increases the temperature. The temperature goes up, and because the water's hot, you've got the water temperature about 105, 106 degrees, and the oil temperature about 102, 103 degrees, and it works. It's tremendous for a built immune system. We use it for cancer. We call this fever treatment. Revulsive treatment is another treatment. Y'all can look that one up. That's also good for it's a hot and cold pulmonation to the chest and the back of the chest. And it's good for blues and immune system. Exercise, walking, rebounding. How many of y'all have ever rebounded? Rebounding is tremendous. Increases your white count. For cancer patients, I'll have them jump for 3 minutes every hour. And I can tell at the end of the day, did they jump or not? Just by the clarity, how they're doing. But when they do the last one and they find that rebounding will increase the white cell count about threefold. It lasts about an hour. And we'll do that 1 hour, about 3 to 5 minutes every hour. It works very well. I'm now using it for depression folks, and it's working very well for folks with depression. Stress, anxiety. This is a big one. Water, 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 more water. The brain needs water. America is dehydrated. Mm-hmm. How do you know how much water you need to drink? Take your body weight, divide it by two. You need that many ounces of water a day, unless you're obese. If you're obese, take your ideal body weight, divide it by two. Then for every 25 pounds over your ideal body weight, add an extra 8 ounces. Now, if you're out working in the garden, and Brad's asking us to do, you need to add a little more to that. But water is very important for frontal lobe function, and that's what we're looking at with stress and anxiety and depression and ADD and all those guys. This works right here. You got to increase frontal lobe function of the brain. Adequate rest, significant for dealing with stress and anxiety. Eat a healthy breakfast and healthy lunch. And folks tell me, they say, I just don't eat breakfast. I don't do breakfast. I don't feel like breakfast. Well, I said, okay, I live outside Knoxville, Tennessee, and I said, okay, let me ask you something. If you got in your car here in Newport and decided you're going to Orlando, and if you got in the car and it was on empty, and you decided you're going to go to Atlanta, and when you got to Atlanta, you're going to put about, maybe 3 gallons in, but when you got to Orlando, you're going to fill up. Are you going to get to Orlando?
No.
Neither are you going to get through the day. Your body, and 2004, there were several universities did a study, and they found that when you get breakfast, your brain starts saying, hey, I need something. You start craving simple carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that Snickers bar? I got to have something. Well, you got to eat a good breakfast to provide the nutrition to the brain. You got to eat a good lunch, or we call them the farm dinner, to get through the morning, through the afternoon, and supper. You don't have to fill up to get through the night. You don't have to fill up with gas to get to Orlando when you're in Orlando. You don't have to. At nighttime, your metabolism drops. What's that food going to do? Well, if you eat right before bedtime, it can sit there and actually ferment, physiologists tell us, and putrefy, and it affects your blood. The sugar, your calories are going to go fat cell. Flaxseed, eat it within 15 minutes of grinding. Flaxseed has tryptophan. Tryptophan is going to turn to serotonin. The pineal gland does that when you have sunshine. The B complex is tremendous for stress and anxiety. Trace minerals, that just makes, in order for fats, proteins, and carbohydrates to work, you got to have vitamins. In order for vitamins to work, you got to have trace minerals. And so you're just turning those guys on by taking your trace minerals. That then gives your brain the right amount of nutrition. Exercise, trusting God. How many times are we just thinking about something, and there's nothing there to really think about? I mean, you couldn't do anything about it anyway, but you need to worry. And that just increases your anxiety and your stress. Give it to God. You know, He's got huge shoulders, and just say, God, take it from me. I can't deal with this. Ladies' hormones. That's the second most thing I deal with, and I try to have my wife deal with that with folks, because most ladies don't want to talk to me about it.
And there's something called lobelium cream that's working real well. We used to do, you know, HRT, and then we started doing estrogen increasing, and then we started doing progesterone increasing, but we really found that we did a better job when we did lobelium cream. It works very, very well. And we increased nettle T. Nettle is huge, huge on the amount of nutrients for ladies to make the hormones produce the right, you know, to produce the right amount of hormones. Because then we what happens is with the lobelium, produce the right amount of progesterone, then when you produce the right amount of progesterone, you produce the right amount of estrogen and the right amount of testosterone. I had a lady come in not long ago, and we were having nettle T, and she said, let me tell you what, Newport's going to be on national news. If you don't get that stuff in, she says, these ladies in Cobb County are going to go crazy. And it's true, and nettle T is helping the ladies in our area tremendous. And what you do is 4 tablespoons and 1/4 of water and drink that throughout the day, or 4 cups, if you had it 4 times a day. Flaxseed, that's helping, like cohosh, if you've had a hysterectomy, red clover. Or Dr. Gabriella Coleman taught me a number of years ago that you take soy milk, cooked, you know, fresh soy milk that you make yourself. Twice cooked soy milk, put it back up. You make your own soy milk, not something you buy in the store. You make your own soy milk, and then you take it and put it in a pot, and you're going to boil it for 10 minutes. Be careful, don't scald it. And then you drink it. And 1 cup of twice cooked soy milk, she found, was equal to 1 primer. Now, do y'all know what primer is?
Yeah.
What's primer? That's horse urine. Pregnant horse urine. Cholesterol. First of all, just don't eat anything with butter. People come in, they say, well, I don't know, you know, I got high cholesterol. What can I do? And my daddy's got it, my granddaddy's got it, my great-granddaddy's got it, and I'm sure they do. I was born in East Tennessee, and all my kinfolks had high cholesterol, and I had high cholesterol. The doctor at work said, well, you're going to have to go on a statin. And when you work in it, sometimes you know what the side effects are, and you don't want to do it. So I decided to go on a no added cholesterol diet. So what I did is not eat anything with the mother. And let's say you got soup beans. Soup beans got a mother? No. If you put you some fat back in there, has that got a mother? That's missing. So that's how you know if it's got cholesterol. So you know what my cholesterol went to? 104. And the docs told me it was genetically predisposed. No, if you checked the dog at the house when I was growing up, it probably had high cholesterol too because of table scraps, but it was not genetic. It was environmentally predisposed because I'm from East Tennessee and I eat East Tennessee diet. Just the same as my daddy, my granddaddy, and all the rest of them. And so Kempner diet, Chip diet, Pritikin diet, those guys are very similar. Right, red yeast rice, we are finding red yeast rice is very good for lowering cholesterol. Clinical trials are showing it's lowering LDL 22-30% within a 30-day trial. Flaxseed is also excellent. A lady came in a couple weeks ago. She didn't have money to get red yeast rice, and so I said, well, let's just try flaxseed. And so that's what we did. She came back in 2 weeks later. She was doing 2 tablespoons 3 times a day. Came back in two months later, and her cholesterol had dropped 100 points. Flaxseed is very good for lowering cholesterol. Niacin, activated charcoal. Activated charcoal is probably the most aggressive for lowering the cholesterol, but there's some other issues when you do activated charcoal. Okay. Well, there's so much I want to share with y'all. Triglycerides, again, don't eat anything with the mother. You got the fat there. Oil seem to be a big issue. Refined sugar is an issue. Stress will increase your triglycerides. Flaxseed is good to lower triglycerides, and so is red yeast rice. But the biggest thing is stay away from meat. Don't eat oil. If you have high triglycerides, no oil, no meat, no refined sugar, and manage your stress. That's the big issue. And we see those triglycerides just boom, just fall. Works very well. Hypertension, assess dehydration, assess stress, assess kidney function, assess weight, assess salt intake. Those are big issues there. Again, don't eat anything, again, should have said with the mother. You want herbs? Cayenne pepper is a vasodilator, and we're finding that's working well with hypertension. Hawthorn berries helps the heart. Hydrotherapy with a warm bath. But the biggest thing I find as I work with people with hypertension, two big things is dehydration and stress. If you have issues with stress, flaxseed, B complex, and trace minerals, and trust in God, their blood pressure is just falling. And that works many, many times. Angina, you know, if you're having a heart pain because of not enough oxygen going to the muscle, cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is a vasodilator, works just like nitro. Glycerin, stick it under the tongue,
and either an extract or a tincture, and it will increase the vascular flow of both the cardiac of your coronary arteries, but also the vascular system in the whole body. If you have a cut, put some cayenne pepper on it. It'll stop the decarburizing of the cut. If you have stomach ulcers, if you have ulcerative colitis and you're bleeding in your colon, take you some cayenne pepper, and that will cauterize it, and it will stop the bleeding. You just take 2 capsules of PRN, and that will stop the bleeding in the colon. Diabetes, the biggest thing, there's all kinds of things you do, but the biggest thing I find is achieving ideal body weight, type 2 diabetes, that is. Coming to ideal body weight, we're finding marked improvement. But if you want to increase it, exercise, chromium's doing well, herbs, genus silvestris is a real big bat, fenugreek, cedarberry, blueberry leaves, fenugreek. If you know of any ladies who would like to adopt a child, but would like to nurse that child, or a mother who can't produce enough breast milk, just have them call my wife. She's helped. Fenugreek is a big one, and it takes care of it. Isn't it neat? A lady can adopt a child and be able to nurse that child and give that child good nutrition and have that bonding. I think it's pretty cool. Again, Kempner diet, chip diet, fruits and diet, fasting is pretty good for diabetes. Obesity. The big thing, don't eat supper. Eat a good breakfast, eat a good lunch, don't eat supper, exercise. I'm finding a lot of people eat for comfort. You know what I'm talking about? A lot of people eat for comfort. Then address the stress, the anxiety. Again, the B complex, the flaxseed, the trace minerals. Get your sleep at night, get some exercise, eat some good food. Stress is big. A lot of people eat because they're stressed. Chickweed is a good appetite suppressant. But the big guy is, I used to be 200 some pounds. And in 3 months, I lost right at 50 pounds by not eating supper. That was all I did. Because what I was doing, I was getting up, I didn't eat breakfast, I go to work, I work on the floor, I was still working in regular health care, and I just didn't take time checking in on the staff and patients and everything. And I'd come home, my wife would have supper, I'd nuke up, and I changed that to where I'd start eating breakfast. She denied with my secretary and told her she had to hold time and get me into the cafeteria and eat lunch. And then when I come home, there was no food, none. And I lost that weight. Insomnia, managed stress, cool meat room, no noise, no light, light or no supper. Supper definitely lowers the production of melatonin. Your pineal gland will convert the tryptophan to serotonin. Your serotonin will then, you'll have conversion to melatonin. But if you eat a big supper, then that stuff is not going to have enough melatonin. Don't let the sun set on your anger. Can that affect your ability to sleep? Absolutely. Herbs, valerian, skullcap, and hops. Those three guys there are really, really good. Put them together in an extract. I like that the best. Passion flower, chamomile, cob, hydrotherapy, a 1-foot bath, wet sheet pack. That's getting a little aggressive there. This is the last one. Internal and external bleeding. Nope, we've already talked about that one. Burns, cold water, aloe vera, grated potatoes, and colloidal silver. Works real well. And let me share one last thing. I'm not going to be able to make it, but how many of you have heard of the charcoal pulses? Charcoal pulses are tremendous. My daughter she had a nasty looking sore on her, about like this, a nasty looking bite. I took her to my neighbor, a retired physician, and I said, Dr. Mundy, I said, what do you think this is? He said, Virginia, his wife, get me a charcoal pulses. Stuck it on there, he said, just go on, come back tomorrow night. He wouldn't tell me what it was because if I knew, I'd take her to the ER to get that address. The next night I came, it looked a whole lot better, and I said, Dr. Munch, what was it? He said, the brown recluse spot. There was no scarring, none at all, period. Drew all that poison out. You can use charcoal pulses for breast cancer, you can use it for lung cancer, you can use it for boils, you can use it for just all kinds of stuff. Charcoal pulses are good. I take a half of activated charcoal, a half a cup of psyllium seed husk powder. You can use flaxseed, but I like psyllium better because it doesn't make as much a mess. I put 2.5 cups of water, so it's a 1:1:5. Five parts of water. Stir these two guys first very, very well. Because if you don't, psyllium's going to congeal, then you have this charcoal making a mess. And then you pour your water in and you stir it. You go, he did not know what he was talking about. There's too much water. 30 seconds go by. He did not know. And all of a sudden, about 40 seconds, it goes into this big old blob. And what you do is you take your cellophane, You lay it out, you put this big old black blob right there, you put another piece of cellophane, you roll that thing out, and you can just roll it right up. You can pull it back, cut you a little piece, let's say it's an eye infection. Or if it's shingles or whatever, you can put that on there, and then put a piece of cellophane on it, on top of that, and then you cover it up. Change it about every 12 hours. It's tremendous, tremendous. I'm out of time, y'all. Thank you.
Well, I need your website.
Health411.org.
Yeah, they want to know if everything you just said is on that.
Health411.org.